Our president must be a man or woman deeply absorbed in and proud of our history, our philosophy, our way of government. Our president must lead, but at the same time have the highest respect and working relationship with our Congress, listening to them for their advice and consultation, and to us, we the people. Our president should not manipulate House or Senate, but rather seek their counsel, and of course, their consent as the Constitution requires, so that the system of checks and balances which the Constitution requires for our protection, the protection of we the people, is respected and enforced. Do you think President Barack Hussein Obama does that? The American democracy cannot survive without that. A president run amok, power-hungry, a president who cares little for the Constitution but operates as president with a pen and a phone is a danger and a disaster to our country. We should fear the actions of such a president and hold him accountable. Some would like to see him impeached. Would you? We need a president who binds us together, causes us to be concerned and caring for others, especially in matters of race relations. Our president should never foster class division or racial hatred or misunderstanding. Our president should take care that all peoples, including and especially so-called minorities, live by the law and the Constitution, enjoy the favors and protections of such, but the accountability and discipline as well. The president is not a man of color, but a man of character. Our president is required to protect our religious rights. Our president comes from a great history of Judeo-Christian culture and background and values and morals. They are Judeo-Christian values. They are what America is. Those Judeo-Christian values are the strength of our country, the foundation upon which we are built, and the hope for our future. Those values permeate our laws, our culture, and our way of life. Our president should never allow them to be eroded, much less eliminated. Our president should be a leader, inspiring, charismatic, caring. But on the other hand, our president should be strong, tough, willing to deal with the hardest challenges, courageous, especially in the face of evil, like Iran or ISIS, never allowing any nation or anyone to take advantage of America without the proper response. Our world calls for strong stands, aggressive actions, concern for the recognition of our enemies, and the courage to stand up to them and do what is required to protect and defend our great country and consequently the world. Perhaps most importantly, our president must be a communicator. That is, we the people should be kept current with world affairs and the great issues which affect our country. Our president should be proactive in communication, not reactive. Do you think President Obama is proactive in communication? We should know where our president stands on every issue. Consistent, not ad hoc approaches, but consistent and clarified. Above all, that communication must be truthful, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so that what is time-honored America can prevail. So many want to be president. It's amazing, isn't it? So many people even lust after the power and prestige of the presidency. But there are precious few who do in fact qualify for the office of president, whether with ability to meet the constitutional requirements or the personal and leadership qualifications which the job requires. No man or woman can be perfect, including the president. But any leader must rise up to those standards, work to understand and improve, and most importantly, be transparent, open and honest, admitting mistakes. Have you ever heard President Obama admit a mistake? Our president must be in the constant pursuit for the right, the truth, and the just. Constant pursuit. Taking care, Mr. President, to make certain that happens. Even as we hold our presidents accountable, we should pray for them as people of faith. Perhaps no president can succeed without divine wisdom and the prayer of the people to be led. The world is too complex. Evil abounds. The sense of the just, the good, the right must prevail. And that can only happen when a president is attuned to and respectful of the divine. Constantly seeking divine wisdom, as so many presidents have. Do you think President Obama does that? Our day and age is deeply secular, and so many presidents seem to avoid or deny the divine, and America suffers as that ultimate leadership is absent. Our Constitution and so many presidents acknowledge that our rights, our freedoms, our liberty are inalienable, that is, divinely given and ultimately protected and defended by that very divine resource. Perhaps our future, our very survival, is totally dependent upon our relationship to and dependence upon the divine, the great God of the universe. Some of that seems to be lacking in our present administration, does it not? And as well our Congress. God is on the out in so many ways. And I say, if that is so, and if that trend continues, our very survival as a nation is at stake. What do you think? So much depends upon the president, our president. If we the people cannot hold our president, our leader, accountable, perhaps no one can. How critical it is that we have the right one. Perhaps you should hear the words of President John F. Kennedy once again. Hear them. Really hear them. Kennedy was a right thinker, and he said the following: "We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and the success of liberty." We shall pay any price. Are we? And are we willing to do that? We shall bear any burden. Are we? And are we willing to do that? We shall meet any hardship. Are we? And are we willing to do that? Support any friend. How many have we let down? Oppose any foe. Are we opposing any foe out there, including and especially Iran and ISIS? To assure the survival and the success of liberty? Boy, I think our administration and our president needs to hear those words again. We don't seem content to meet any hardship. We the people are content rather with the easy life. And the world demands a courage from us and a response and a burden bearing, which we seem unwilling to offer, as does our president. We need to step up and take a stand. We have surely forgotten the challenge of President John F. Kennedy, have we not? And perhaps the most famous challenge to the American people from Mr. Kennedy, who said, "Ask not," can't you just hear him? "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Are you asking that question? Are you asking what you can do for your country, and are you doing it? The America we love needs not only the right president, it needs the right you doing for your country. So said President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. We have rather become a nation of entitlement, of welfare, of government dependence, even separation from our very own government. They rule us rather than represent us, and we allow it to happen. We the people have become reactive rather than proactive. Few really ask what they can do for the country and how we can protect its liberties and freedoms. We want, we ask for, but we seem unwilling to give to, especially in the light of hardship, to give to our very own country. We seem to take our rights and our freedoms for granted, and we depend upon our governments to protect those rights and define them or abridge them. And we fail to heed the words of Kennedy, who also said, "The rights of man come not from the generosity of the state," amen, "but from the hand of God," amen again. The rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. They are, as our Constitution states, they are inalienable rights. So says our Declaration of Independence, and they cannot be changed, for they are divinely given, and we should move away from any man or woman who would abridge them. The one most responsible for in charge of that never-ending task to protect liberty is our president. Obama, like Kennedy, should echo those words and believe fully in the truisms which drive them. It is that kind of passion for liberty which our country needs so desperately and which our president should champion and communicate. We should be able to follow his leadership, his convictions, and not be forced to challenge them at virtually every turn. Ah, we seem to do that now more often than ever before, do we not? What a tragedy for our great country. So then our president should take care, as the Constitution says. Take care, Mr. President, that you, Mr. President, and now and in the future all presidents, that you protect and defend our Constitution, our rule of law, our way of life. So, in the last 2 years left, Mr. Obama, learn more about taking care of us, we the people, and all we stand for, and our liberties. Put down your phone, Mr. President, and put down your pen, and take up the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. You are supposedly a constitutional scholar, so you say. So go back, change back, restudy, and take to heart all that America is and all that our great Constitution means. Become the leader of the Constitution and our great country. You should be in your last 2 years that America so desperately needs. Champion us. Champion we the people and our exceptionalism. Protect and defend our freedoms and our way of life. No more change. No more degrading of all that we are. Don't change us anymore, good sir. Allow us, if you can, to be proud of your leadership and your decision-making. That can be your legacy. That should be your legacy, Barack Hussein Obama. But it is up to you, sir, as our president. Will you at last take care? Or will you continue change, your kind of change, not for the better? We pray for you, sir. We pray for you, Barack Hussein Obama, that you will do what is right. Please, that you will do what is right for we the people.